It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
Friends, we've got a very important program today. I want to encourage you to pick up your phone, call a friend, shoot out an email, text someone, tweet someone. Tell them to tune in right now. Michael Brown with a special guest that will be joining us live from South Africa, talking about the incredible flood tide of anti-Semitism. I mean, virulent, even violent anti-Semitism rising on our college campuses. He's produced a movie about it. Thanks for joining us today. The number to call with your questions, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. You can email me, of course, at Dr. Brown, drbrown@askdrbrown.org. I'm looking at a report from one speaker, the anti-Semitic jihad on campus, my night at USC, January 15th, 2010. Here's a report from September 17th, 2002, the war on campus. Middle East scholar Daniel Pipes talking about how a Palestinian activist spoke on campus just a year after 9/11, and Benjamin Netanyahu from Israel couldn't speak because of the anti-Israel riots. Something is happening that America needs to know about, and I would say the vast majority of Americans, not to mention the vast majority of Christian Americans, even Zionistic Christian Americans, know nothing about it. Joining us from South Africa, Wayne Copping, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today.
Yeah, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me.
Great. And where exactly are you located in South Africa?
I'm in Johannesburg.
Johannesburg. Okay, that's probably the one city in South Africa that Americans know about.
Yeah, because of that movie, D9, right?
I think just the fame of Joburg is around the world.
It.
So you have produced a movie, Crossing the Line, The Intifada Comes to Campus. What moved you to do this? Why in the world did you get involved with this subject?
Well, we've been tracking the radical Islamist threat for the last few years. We have two other films that we've made. One is called Obsession, and the other one is The Third Jihad, which looks at the global terrorist threat, and in particular the threat to the United States.
And by the way, those are for those who haven't watched them, I've mentioned them on the air, especially Obsession has been out longer. We show it to our students at our school. I mean, this is unbelievably intense stuff. So go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. But what happened was we noticed that we'd always known that the anti-Israel sentiment on campuses has been quite scary, to say the least. But after Operation Cast Lead towards the beginning of 2009, We saw a major shift where the anti-Israel sentiment on campus literally crossed the line. And as you pointed out earlier, it even crossed over into some violent incidents. And this was very, very underreported in the media, if at all. And so in our, true to our style, I guess, what we do is we like to show a big picture. The news, if they do show anything, they'll only show an incident here or an incident there. But in our films, what we like to do is take a macro view and explain not only what is happening, but why it's happening, what the motivations are, and ultimately what we all need to do to take the next step.
Now, the way the war on Gaza was reported here in America, I'm sure it was worse in Europe and other parts of the world, but of course Israel was completely unjustified, going in and in a cavalier way, blowing up civilians, killing people, and there was almost no thought of Israel's self-defense and the extraordinary restraint that was used. And I mean, you just hardly got the picture. And we would be shocked to see rallies here. Remember, there was one in Charlotte where, for example, homosexual activists were joining with pro-Palestinian groups and different ones protesting what Israel was doing and siding with Hamas. And I'm thinking, if you lived with Hamas, you wouldn't even be out on the streets protesting. So, I mean, people just kind of idealize the other side and demonize Israel. It was extraordinary to see.
Yeah, and it really does boggle the mind. You know, you hit on a very important point. There's almost a naivete or a willful ignorance of the reality of the situation. It's quite true that in Gaza, an openly gay person would not last very long, much in the same way that gays are hanged in Iran and slaughtered in Afghanistan.
Exactly.
Whereas homosexuals, even Arab homosexuals, flee to Israel, and that's where they prefer to live. So it is bizarre that gays and left-wingers and people who do believe in human rights, justice, free speech, that they would be against Israel. And so it kind of begs the question, you know, what are these people's true motivations? Is it anti-Semitism? Is it ignorance? Have they just been bamboozled by the enormous amount of propaganda that's out there? And these are some of the questions that we explore in the film Crossing the Line. And we also give people a way to differentiate between what is legitimate criticism of Israel and where it does cross the line. So these kinds of things are also brought into the film, too.
Now, there's an interview on the film where the interviewer talks about Natan Sharansky's three ways, the three D's, in terms of when something becomes anti-Semitic. Because, look, Israel's not above criticism. Even the most pro-Israel people recognize it. And if you live within Israel, there's constant criticism of the government back and forth. All, you know, I mean, radical freedom of speech in that sense. But there is something that does cross the line. So how would you define that? Or using the Sharansky's three D's, how do we know what is anti-Semitic?
Yeah, well, it crosses the line when the three D's that Sharansky put down brilliantly. The one is when there's a double standard, when Israel is held to a higher standard or a different standard or a double standard to other countries, that's the first step. The second step is when the country is delegitimized. That's the second D, delegitimization. In other words, where they turn around and say that Israel does not even have a right to exist. And as we show in the film Crossing the Line, you see these students saying, hey, hey, ho, ho, the state of Israel's got to go. And they speak about the state of Israel being wiped out and destroyed. The third one, of course, is demonized. When the country is demonized, when they are, when the Israelis and the IDF are accused of shooting children in the back and mercilessly killing innocent civilians, and the country is completely demonized, when you have those three simultaneously, what you get is not legitimate criticism of the country, but de facto, I guess it's anti-Semitism, you know, because they stopped criticizing Israel and they started criticizing the Jews and the Jews' right to exist. You know, one other thing that we show in the film, there was a rally. It wasn't on campus, but it was a rally in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And there was a Muslim girl screaming out, you know, nuke, nuke Israel, bomb, bomb Israel.
Yes.
And then she yells out, she says, you need to go back to the ovens. You need a bigger oven. Obviously, we all know what she's referring to. And this is the tenor, and this is the way this debate has devolved. And this is essentially what we're fighting against.
And it's on the campuses. In fact, I just want to play a clip. Everyone go to campusintifada.com, campusintifada.com. If you have a hard time spelling that, just go to our link on Line of Fire, and we have it up there. But college campuses, these are hotbeds of a lot of progressive thinking, but people want to stand for justice and the oppressed. So just listen to how this plays out on the campuses.
The great American university. For some, it's the route to riches. For others, a path to the endless party. But for many students, it's a time to broaden one's mind and begin to shape the world we live in. University has always been a crucible for social change and reform. And we see that today, students are standing up against the occupation of Tibet, the massacres in Darfur, and the war in Iraq. But there is one issue that seems to evoke more passion and hostility than any other.
Those are windows smashing, people chanting, down, down, Israel. This is not Lebanon. It's not a clip from Lebanon. These are college campuses. Okay, folks, we come back after the break with Wayne Copping. We're gonna find out more of what's happening on the campuses, how it's spreading across America, and what you can do about it. Campusintifada.com. You need to go there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown with my special guest from Johannesburg, South Africa, Wayne Copping. Did you see the movie Obsession? I mean, this got major play on major networks in America. Excerpts from it were shown, and utterly disturbing and utterly realistic and not exaggerated. And then the third jihad. Well, Wayne Copping has now put out what could even be a more disturbing film, because this is from college campuses in America, crossing the line. The Intifada comes to campus. Wayne, again, thanks for being with us today. Are things getting worse? I know there have been issues on the campuses. You've got tenured professors at places like Columbia University, famous for very ugly anti-Semitic sentiments, or certainly anti-Israel sentiments. Is this becoming more widespread on campuses in America?
I think we saw things accelerate extensively after Operation Cast Lead. It was almost as if all these different forces, be they the left plus the student Islamic student groups and even left-wing Jewish organizations, they all kind of came together in almost a perfect storm. And so we saw a huge spike in something that we've all known has been around for a long time. So it's a question of, yes, are things getting worse? Yes. But the real question is, what are we supposed to do about it? And one of the things that we try to show in the film and say in the film is that, first of all, our opponents are liars. They lie, they exaggerate, and they do not have the moral high ground. That's number one. And number two, we have to say that we have to be proud of who we are, not only those of us that are Jewish or Israeli, but also people that are Americans. Americans or West people who live in Western countries and believe in the Western values. Those things have to be defended vigorously, and we have to be proud of who we are and what we stand for and fight against this insinuation and this, I don't even know the word for it, this invective that's flooding the campuses today.
All right, let's try to understand something. Most Americans, they look at the more radical forms of Islam and the woman covered head to toe in a burqa. They hear about some of the barbaric treatments of protesters in places like Iran, etc. They see the mentality of the Taliban in Afghanistan. None of that appeals to most Americans, and yet there is this sentiment rising in certain circles, which is almost pro-Islam, as if the Muslims have the higher moral ground, and the Israelis are the terrorists. How was this just a PR campaign? I mean, how did this kind of shift in thinking take place among so many people?
Yeah, it's a great point that you make, and I have no idea how people reconcile these two issues in their minds, except to say that I think the pro-Palestinian groups have done such an effective job of demonizing Jews and the State of Israel and completely blowing anything that Israel has done completely out of proportion with lies, with exaggeration, such that people are of the mind that Israel is the single biggest threat to the world today. Many Europeans think that, and it's completely detached from reality, of course. And so it's this incessant propaganda campaign. And so
you've got to fight back. you've got to fight back with truthful propaganda, of course.
Well, but, that's it. You know, we don't show anything in our films. We don't say anything in our films that we don't back up with either video or audio. People can actually hear the Islamists or the pro-Palestinian groups say the words. We can hear them calling for the destruction of Israel. We show the there's a cartoon in the York University student magazine where there's an image of an Israeli soldier dressed up as a Nazi shooting Palestinians in a pit, and the pit spells out the word Gaza. This is what they are feeding students at York University, and we can't make that up. We don't make that up. This, you know, you couldn't make this up. And this is, and we just show what is out there. And you want to call it, you know, true propaganda. We're just showing, you know, the how this has evolved and how sick it all is, really.
You know, I remember when I was at grad school at NYU, and my doctoral work was in Semitic studies, and I was just trying to do some Arabic reading, and there was a magazine that was in the library there, which I was kind of shocked. It was just a fairly anti-Israeli Arabic publication that I wasn't familiar with. And I remember seeing a picture of Menachem Begin, who was then prime minister, dressed as a Nazi. And I probably had a sword that was piercing some dove, you know, something like that. So those images, which were images that were being fed to Muslim Arabic people in the Middle East, are now images that are occurring, you're saying, on our college campuses in North America.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it. And not only are these vile anti-Semitic images showing up on campus, but they're almost becoming normal. They're almost becoming mainstream, and we've all become so inured to it almost. And at a certain point, you have to realize that this has to stop, and we do have to stand up and fight against this. And that's part of, I guess, the rallying cry of all of this. And if we just cannot allow this to continue, at the very least, we can't allow this to continue without being exposed.
Now, what type of fruit have you seen from the Obsession movie and from the Third Jihad? I know it's disturbing, shocking for folks, and I may get through teaching on a lot of these things about anti-Semitism worldwide and in history and things like that, and then when I show it, people are still devastated to see it. So I know it has that effect. Has it done something beyond devastating people, or are people waking up and doing something about the truth?
People have told us, individuals, teachers, religious leaders, politicians, even individuals that work in the security apparatus in the government, they've told us that they are using the film to educate the people in their circle, in their community. And I don't know if we've changed policy necessarily, but we know that on an individual level, after people have seen our films, they really understand these issues in a way that they never understood before, and they're able to make much more educated decisions, especially when it comes to who they're going to vote for, congressmen, senators, the president, and so on and so forth. And it's also cutting through the lies, you know, the left and the radical Islamists have also painted the United States out to be the world's biggest bully, the world's biggest terrorist. And we know that this isn't true. But people that don't know, people that don't have the facts at their fingertips, they could fall prey to that kind of ideology.
Yes.
And that's why this Islamist propaganda on campus is also dangerous for the average American, because it seeps into that into your culture. And it's self-destructive.
All right, I'm just going to jump in. We've got a break. We come back, I want to talk about Saudi funding on our campuses, as well as about the Israel Apartheid Week. A lot of shocking things. Friends, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and look at the link, campusintifada.com. Get the movie.
Send the fire today.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown with my special guest from South Africa, Wayne Copping, talking about a very, very important new movie that he and his organization have produced. It's called Crossing the Line, The Intifada Comes to Campus. If you haven't seen his previous movies, first Obsession and then Third Jihad, by all means get them. Just get online. You get them quite readily. Just be in a sober state of mind when you watch them, because these things will shake you up. But we've got to, this is truth. I may take some calls. If you'd like to call in with a question, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The website to go to is campusintifada.com. That is campusintifada.com. Wayne, before we get back to the current movie you've just produced, one of the most astounding things to me, with all of the actual footage that you have on your other videos, say Obsession, which I've watched over and again, and you know you've got the one Muslim cleric preaching about chopping the heads of the Jews off, and he pulls the sword out, and people shouting, and you know you've got actual footage, and you could multiply. I mean, if you had 20 hours to put out, you could have, you know, you just excerpted representative samples, and yet people say, well, it's not true. It's
right.
What are they talking about? How do they deny this stuff?
What they say generally is, yes, they're upset, and oh boy, wouldn't you be just as upset if, and then you would insert the false premise here, if your land was under occupation, or another false premise, if your land was being devastated by the West, or if the Americans were there to steal your oil, or if the Zionist conspiracy, you know, Freemasons, da-da-da-da-da. So people in many people's minds, they just mitigate it with false root causes. And the root cause of a lot of this is, and what we show definitively in our films, is the root cause of this is radical Islam. Those adherents of the radical form of Islam that seeks to spread Islam throughout the entire world. And how do we know this? Because the radical Islamist leaders themselves say that this is what it's all about. And we show them in our films saying that this is what the war is all about. So to us gullible, you know, white people in the West, they'll say it's about the occupation, but to their own people in their own language, they'll say, you know what it's really about? It's really about spreading Islam to the entire world.
It reminds me of when Yasser Arafat would give a speech in English and then immediately go into the mosque and give a speech in... he did that in South Africa once, didn't he?
Exactly.
If I recall.
Exactly.
Calling for jihad in Arabic.
That's right. We have another film that preceded Obsession and Third Jihad called Relentless. And in Relentless, we show countless examples of exactly that, where they say one thing to the West and they say another thing to their own people. But you know that these so-called root causes are false, that whether it's occupation or the United States stealing oil, because I just looked last week at a website called thereligionofpeace.com, and they track the amount of deaths at the hands of Islamists. And
yes.
So as of last month, there were 14,740 deadly Islamist terror attacks around the world since 9/11. We're talking about in Indonesia, in Somalia, in Afghanistan. And, you know, these are places that have nothing to do with the occupation, the so-called occupation, you know, of the Palestinians or the Americans, you know, so-called stealing the Muslims' oil. So you really got to, I think you really have to be naive or willfully ignorant to not recognize the true nature of this threat.
Yeah, I mean, Muslims with terrorist attacks in Bali, Indonesia, what was that about? And a lot of it is radical Muslims attacking less radical Muslims or people of other religious faiths. And it is spreading of jihad and holy war in their eyes. So
exactly.
How does this tie in now with Saudi Arabia and Saudi funding and, you know, what level of extremism comes out of Saudi? What about the campuses?
Yeah, okay. So it's a great tie-in. Really, what's really, I think, you asked why don't people recognize the nature of the threat. I think some of it has to do with the fact that they don't want to be seen to be casting aspersions on all Muslims, as if to say that all Muslims are bad and all Muslims are terrorists. So what they try to do is they try and mitigate and make all sorts of other excuses. Now, a lot of these, this mindset or this dementia, if you want to call it that, has been fueled by the Saudis. What do I mean by that? If we look at what's happening on campus alone, and there are many examples not on campus, but if we look at what's happening on campus, the Saudis and other Arab states have plowed over $300 million into college campuses since, I think, 1995. That's $300 million. We're talking about $20 million to Harvard, $20 million to Georgetown, the same amount to University of Arkansas. And what are these Saudis and other Arab states, what are they giving the money to? Is it research facilities? Are they looking for alternative fuels? Is it sports? What is it? No, they're all for Islamic studies centers. And not only Islamic studies, but Middle East centers. In other words, what they're trying to do is they're trying to build bridges. This is what they'll say, building bridges between the Arab world or the Muslim world and the West. And it all sounds very nice, doesn't it? Because, boy, oh boy, we're such different cultures. But it's really the ultimate deception, because they do not seek to build a bridge in any way, shape, or form. Because if you look in Saudi Arabia, for instance, you will not find one church. It's an offense even to carry a Bible in that country. You know, and heaven help you if you have your cross, you know, around your neck, showing out in public. What kind of relationship are they really trying to foster? Is this a two-way street? No, obviously it's not. What they're trying to do is they're trying to mitigate any kind of criticism in many ways, even before it even happens. And what they're trying to do is paint a different kind of a picture. They try to paint the Muslims as the victims, as people that have been treated as second-class citizens, and all this is happening on the campuses, so that by the time Operation Cast Lead or some other massive media circus happens, the average college student is already in the mindset of, oh, you know, the aggressor Israelis and the victim Palestinians, and boy, oh boy, we'd better get up and protest this. And this is largely because of the Saudi funding, and also the Muslim groups like the Muslim Student Association on campuses who have been agitating for decades. And this is a whole other story, but we show the Muslim Student Association is a front or an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood is the great granddaddy, so to speak, of Hamas and Hezbollah. So they're all literally tied into one another ideologically, financially, and they have the same goal, which is to destroy Israel and ultimately destabilize the United States.
Yeah, let me just say this to all of our listeners. I mean, obviously, Wayne knows the things of which he speaks, but these are areas I've studied and pursued for years. There's not an exaggerated syllable that is being spoken. An alarm is being sounded. CampusIntifada.com. Go there during the break, and we will be right back. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown with my special guest, director Wayne Copping, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. We're talking about the new documentary is just produced. You may have seen Obsession, The Third Jihad, maybe some of you Relentless. You saw that before. Crossing the Line, the Intifada comes to campus. I'm on the website right now. There's a great 5-minute plus clip you can watch. You can host a screening for your church, for your community. You can get the film. I clicked to buy it because I want to get a bunch for our listeners here. I was shocked to see that it was $9.99. I didn't think you get anything worthwhile for $10 these days. Obviously, the goal is to get the information out. Isn't that the case, Wayne?
That is it. We wanted to reach as many people as possible, make it as accessible as possible, because it's the famous notion of the tipping point. When enough people stand up and say that we're sick of it, then the other side will not be able to continue with their incessant propaganda. And unfortunately, unfortunately, what we are feeling is almost the tipping point on the other side,
yes,
where they can get away with saying anything and doing just about anything in the name of pro-Palestinianism. They're almost reaching a tipping point of almost succeeding in the propaganda realm. So that's why we have to be, I guess, so vigilant and work so hard.
Yeah, you know, of course, our listeners, we always call people to pray and ask God for help. We got to pray and we got to do something along with it. And, you know, I'm always struck by those lines from an Islamic terrorist. You know, how dare you call us a terrorist? We'll kill you.
Behead all those who say that Islam is not a religion of peace.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'd looked at that Religion of Peace website, too, and it's just the facts. This is what's happening. All right, we just got a few minutes left, the last couple of segments here. Tell me about Israeli Apartheid Week. Obviously, this is something that really strikes deeply with you, living in South Africa, knowing what real apartheid was and is. What is this Israel Apartheid Week?
Yeah, this notion of apartheid is a stick that they like to try and beat the Israelis with. It's a movement. It's an event that's been gaining ground over the last number of years. The last year was incredibly successful. They brag about having a presence on just about every single campus in North America, which is quite frightening if you think about it.
Amazing.
And the reason that it's a misnomer is if there's one country in the entire Middle East where all individuals are respected, it's Israel. If there's one country where there's no gender apartheid, it's Israel. If there's one country where there's no other kind of apartheid. I mean, you even have Arabs and Palestinians sitting in the Knesset, and mm-hmm. Palestinian Arabs have votes. And the only reason that we have the so-called security fence or wall that makes it look as if there's some kind of apartheid, the only reason that we have that is literally to stop the terrorists from coming in and killing our children. That is the only reason. Before the suicide bombing terror attacks, there were no fences. There were no walls. And since the fences have gone up, the incidents of terrorism have gone down. And what we'd like to tell people is that as soon as the Palestinians put down their guns, as soon as they put down their weapons and stop educating their children from the day they're born to hate the Jews, then the fences will go down, two states can live side by side in peace, and everyone can get on with their lives. So apartheid is a misnomer, just like they say that the Israelis are the worst human rights violators in the world. Mm. It's a lie, it's a smokescreen, but it's a stick that they use to beat
yes.
the Israelis.
And you actually have quotes. We've got about a minute before a break here, but you actually have quotes on this film where you have people on campuses, maybe even professors or campus spokespeople, saying that Israel doesn't have a right to exist. Is that true?
That's it. They say that Israel is not a legitimate state, does not have a right to exist. There's Imam Malik Ali, one of the most fiery imams, who is on campus saying, not two-state solution, one state for one people, the Arabs, the Muslims. And time again, the state of Israel has been delegitimized, and the notion that it can be erased is something that fills them with much hope and anticipation. And where do you even begin to have a kind of a dialogue when the other side refuses to even acknowledge that you have a right to exist, much in the same way that the Hamas Charter says outright that the state of Israel has to be destroyed. So this is the real root of the problem, and this is what we try to show in the film, Crossing the Line, that we actually, you know, we have to reorientate ourselves vis-a-vis this debate and get to the real issues and not the
yes.
fake issues like apartheid.
All right, hey, we've got one last segment. We come back, I want to talk about a vision of getting this onto campuses, this documentary on campuses all over America. We'll be back. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Boy, I wish we had more time for our special guest, director Wayne Copping from Johannesburg, South Africa. The website to go to, campusintifada.com. Go there. Find out how you can show this extraordinary documentary about the rising tide, the frighteningly rising tide of ugly anti-Semitism on college campuses all over America. Get a copy for yourself, campusintifada.com. Wayne, we've got just a few minutes left, but I'm thinking you've got all this stuff happening on the campuses. I'm sure some campuses, just to show your documentary, would create controversy, and some places wouldn't even want it shown. I'd love to see this all over America. We've got listeners in different places with maybe they've got kids on campuses, maybe some students are listening. Can these be hosted and shown on college campuses? Is that possible?
Absolutely. I mean, I guess it's kind of like the ultimate Tupperware party. that's the idea. It's a grassroots movement. We can't wait for the leaders in the government to do anything about it. The leaders in the government, they're waiting for us. The tail always wags the dog. And if your university or business, whatever it is, won't allow you to show the film, then ask them, why not? What about the film is not accurate? What about the film is not true? What about, you know, on what grounds is it? And if they can't give you a sufficient argument, then you need to do what many other people have done, where they show the film off campus after the entire controversy has been made. They get twice the amount of people, and they say, just because you say we can't show it, we're definitely showing it. And many people have shown our films off campus. And the idea is that it's not hate speech. The idea is this is not propaganda. We're just showing what the problem is in the words of the pro-Palestinian activists, using their words, their ideology, and just showing the problem. So, and also, we can't allow ourselves to be be pushed into a corner and to be intimidated. This is our opportunity. This is a tool that we've given to people to say, use this, fight back, take a stand.
And one last question. We've just got about a minute left. How much do you see college professors buying into this, either those that teach in Middle Eastern studies or just the general sentiment on campuses, leaning more and more into a really strong anti-Israel, even anti-Semitic stance?
I mean, the bigger problem is many college professors are hardcore socialists, communists. They still live in Lenin's world, and I'm speaking about John Lennon's world. They wish there can be a world, imagine no countries. And so this is beyond the professors. It's time for the students to stand up, even to those that are supposed to be teaching them, and stand up to those two.
And if we could get, look, nobody likes to be lied to or manipulated. If we could get it into the minds of students, you're not hearing the whole story. You are hearing something. You're being lied to. And the ones that are lying to you do not have your best interest in mind either. Because if that campus was an Islamic campus, they wouldn't be there. So, Wayne, I appreciate so much the effort that goes into this to put out such quality documentaries. I sat down to watch one the other day. The title got my interest, you know, another Middle Eastern thing, and I thought, yeah, boy, they didn't. It's just people sitting in chairs doing a couple of interviews, and I thought, I tried to watch it, but I tuned out. Your documentaries are compelling, factual, and balanced as well. You don't demonize the opposition. You say, hey, look, this is not every Muslim in the world, but this is what's happening. So, friends, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, click on Line of Fire. We've got a link there to campusintifada.com. Get copies of this. Show them in your church. Get them to young people throughout your community. And let us have a revolution of truth. Tomorrow, you've got questions. We've got answers here on the Line of Fire. Remember to join us. Discover Fire March 4th and 5th. That's it. March 4th and 5th. Thursday night, Friday day. Don't miss it.